We pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you have preserved your word in our midst. And Lord, we rejoice that it is through the power of your living word at work in us, which creates faith, which delivers salvation, and continues to transform and make new our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Lord, we thank you for the gift, not just of that word that is living and active, but also of your Holy Spirit, who helps to illuminate that word in our hearts and in our minds. And we pray, Lord, at this moment, that the Spirit would remain and be at work in us today as we engage you where you promise to be found in the Scriptures. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We who are in Christ, make no mistake about it, live in this world. But we are called and encouraged to live differently than everyone else in the world. And St. Paul tells us there is good reason for you and I today to have a completely different orientation toward the world we live in. The good of the world, the tragic of the world, the joys of the world, and the sadness that we encounter and endure in this world. Paul gives us some advice on how we ought to, as those who are in Christ, live out our days. He says, you and I can live and be of good courage in this life and in this world. But there's a connection. This is not just a courage that you or I try to harvest from within ourselves. No, this is a courage which comes above when we, as Paul tells us, when we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. Walk by faith and not by sight, and you will live courageously amid the circumstances of this world. And what does it mean to live by faith or walk by faith and not by sight? Well, I'll tell you first what it doesn't mean. It's not a call by Paul or by the Lord himself for you and I to bury our heads in the sand and pretend that we don't see anything happening around us, or pretend that when we go through tough times that they're not tough. It's not anything like that. To walk by faith and not by sight is to see what's happening around you, but to trust in the promise and the reality that Christ has spoken into your life and guaranteed you for your life through his blood and by the seal of the Holy Spirit. It's a trusting, not just in Christ, but what Christ has promised. It's a moving through the events of this life and this world, knowing that the promise that awaits you and I is eternal life. First heaven, and then a new heaven and earth comes. So Paul says, be of good courage. Walk by faith, not by sight. And the reason for this is that you and I live in a crumbling world. We live with a body that is always, it seems, worse tomorrow than it was 10 years ago. Right? How many of you have more creaks and aches than you had when you were 20? How many of you have noticed that when you sit down to rest, you groan? And when you get up, you groan. Right? I thought, what's happening? At that point, I was only 48, but the groans began at that time. Our bodies, Paul wants us to know, these bodies that we have right now at this moment are not built to last. Like a tent that is temporary, these bodies in our lives, as we live out our lives in these bodies, they are affected by all the elements that we can endure in this world. Paul tells us at the end of chapter 4 that we will have momentary afflictions in this life. He tells us in chapter 5 that we will groan in this life because of this life. Sometimes it's because of our emotional instability. It could be mental instability. It could be spiritual instability. It could be all of these things happening upon us at once that lead us to groan inwardly as we wait for a better day. It's a groan that laments the present circumstance but knows that the present isn't the fulfillment of the promise that will be one day to come to us. And there's no shortage of things in this life, as Paul says, that we have sighs that are filled with anxiety. And the things that lead to those anxious sighs are numerous. We can be at one moment of waiting on a biopsy and the results to come back. And there will be sighs and prayers of anxiousness. We can know we're about to enter into a C scan or a CT scan or a PET scan to see what's going on, to wait anxiously on the results. And when the results come, there will be tears, either joyful ones when you receive good news, or the tears that come with the oppressive weight of bad news as the result of one of those scans. In this life, there will be long roads of recovery, maybe from addiction, maybe from an unplanned surgery, maybe even from a planned surgery, and we will go to physical therapy, and we will go to therapy, and either groan because of the physical pain or the inner turmoil that we experience through addiction. And the groan will indeed be there. There will be moral wounds. There will be relational letdowns. There will be many things we suffer at the hands of others as we live in a broken, sinful world. Sometimes it'll be the sin of others. Sometimes it'll be your own. Sometimes it will be the depth of sin which affects the very biology of nature itself. This is why, and it's for these moments that Paul says, guess what? You and I know something that everyone else doesn't. And because of the fact and reality of what it is that we know, we can move courageously and with hope in the worst of these situations in this world. Because we know this, we know a better day is to come. Paul knows this, and he wants us to know that the moment we move from this life in death, our soul is immediately in heaven with Christ. And that day, Paul informs us, is better than the best day you've had on earth. And it doesn't stop there. there's an even better beyond that better day of heaven. And it's the day when Christ returns, and it's the resurrection of the dead, when we receive our new spiritual and yet physical bodies to live forever together with all of those who are in Christ, not floating on clouds, but walking together with one another in a new creation. And Paul tells us, that's guaranteed to you. God Himself has made it possible for you. He has sealed that promise for you with the gift of the Holy Spirit. But there can be many objections and naysayers that say, how do you Christians know that this is what's ahead for you? Have you died and come back to tell us about it? And we say, no, I haven't, but you know what? I do know of somebody who has. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The first one to ever be crucified and come back to life with His glorified body. And because of that, He who came back tells me that I'm going to receive new life just like He did because of what He did. He who came back from the dead and was able to enter into a room without opening the door. How cool is that? Those of you that like to scare people, that's awesome. Right? But so that we might not think it's just something kind of thin and veiled and out there, just as He enters into that room, so one of His own goes up to touch His newly glorified body. To know indeed what they're seeing is no apparition, but the very flesh of the Son of God crucified and risen. They can touch the side, touch the wounds, and know and witness to the fact that this is real. That our promise that you and I hope for and look forward to is rooted in reality. It is a flesh-based promise for you and for me. All on account of Christ. We who are in Christ live in this world. We endure the aches and the pains that anyone in the world does, but we have a completely different perspective. We know a better day is coming. We know that even a better day than that better day comes later. And because of that, we can live, as St. Paul says, of good courage and aiming to please God the whole of our days here on earth. We can push through the anxiousness. We can move through the afflictions because Christ Himself has opened that way for us. You know, when you consider Paul, the author of this letter inspired by the Holy Spirit, he's one who knows very much what it's like to suffer in this world on account of Christ. He knows what it's like to be shipwrecked at sea. He knows what it's like to be whipped on multiple occasions, 39 times in a row. He lives through people who stone him and believe they've killed him and carry him outside of the city to leave his dead body for the vultures. only to realize later he wasn't dead yet. It's this Paul who tells you and I, it is far better for me to depart and be with the Lord than to remain, but it seems as if the Lord still has some things for me to do here. But he faces the here with courage, not only because he saw Christ, but he knows the very promise of Christ, the same promise that made Peter all of a sudden have courage when he was only a coward on Good Friday, a courage which comes on the promise and reality of Christ risen to all of those early disciples who most of them would be martyred in horrible, indescribable ways. But they show us that this promise, this reality that is ours, that in the end, courage will triumph over fear. And that courage is anchored in the reality of Christ and his promise to you. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this boldness that we have been given by you is not anything we harvest internally, not anything we muster up. It is the fruit of that fact and promise which comes to us on account of Christ. Because he rose, we will rise. Because he lives forever, so will we. Because he escaped the brokenness of this world, we will too. And because his joy is full and complete, so will ours one day be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.